Hi, this is Ray Robinson in Los Angeles again, and again I'm with Paul Hunter, continuing our discussion about how the original KHBN shortwave station got started in Palau. But before we got to Palau, we finished up last week, we were talking about a ship-based project. And Paul, I've seen photos of George Otis, the founder of High Adventure, looking at ships in Rotterdam in around 86, 87. I know he was looking at the Radio Paradise ship, and I think he looked at the MV Communicator. You mentioned that he was looking at a ship in Louisiana, but the concept, I believe, was to put the ship somewhere off the coast of Singapore. Is that right? To broadcast into China?
Yes, that was the last point that we thought would be a good way to do it, if we're to do it marine style.
Yeah. I heard that there was some pushback from the government of Singapore. They weren't being awfully friendly, were they?
No, they weren't. Of course, with world tension at that point in around Asia and the Southeast Asia and China and Korea, there was a lot of tension going on. Politically, it would have been very difficult for them to entertain doing that.
Right. And of course, that part of the world, they do have a lot of actual real pirates in the ocean, don't they?
Oh, they sure do.
So I'm sure it's a concern if the shipping out there, that particularly a vessel running an unlicensed radio station, I'm sure would have been a concern.
Yeah.
But anyway, so George decided to pursue a land-based option. And tell us about some of the places that he looked at, or even you looked at.
Yeah, okay. Yes, the first place I believe we looked at was the Philippines, because that was closer to the area that we wanted to reach.
Right.
Even though it wasn't U.S. territory, and it became a political turmoil, partly because they thought there might be other political problems or issues that would come up. So it kind of dragged on, but just didn't work. Finally, George was able to contact somebody in Guam who had connections with the government of Guam at that time. And he spoke to them and told them what we wanted to do. And they seemed to say, yeah, well, come on out and let's talk about it. So that was the second area. We went to Guam, and I spent, I think, almost a year around Guam looking for real estate, looking for property, and that was very hard and difficult to find any place where you could put up a massive antenna like you'd like to have for shortwave.
Right. I've heard Christmas Island was mentioned.
Yes, I never did go to Christmas Island, I'm sorry, but George did, and apparently that didn't pan out as well.
So after a year of looking unsuccessfully for property in Guam, how did the idea come up to go to Palau?
Yeah, God works in amazing ways, his wonders to perform. And basically what happened was that George was in touch with a missionary to the Marshall Islands who was based in Hawaii. And we had looked at the possibility of Hawaii because that was the next U.S. territory that we felt we could be licensed under the FCC. And that's why we had looked at Guam. When that didn't turn out, she had a contact with the governor of the state of Palau in the South Pacific.
Now, of course, and, Palau, this is in the early 1990s. Palau was still a U.S. territory at that
yes,
point,
yes, it
right?
was a U.S. protectorate.
Right.
And they had the agreement, and they had their U.S. ambassador was on the island to help. So I was still in Guam one night, and about midnight, I think it was, I got a phone call from George. He had the most amazing way to find people anywhere in the world. And he found me, and he said, can you get on an airplane tomorrow and go to Palau, and you have a meeting with the governor of Palau at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and the flight will get you there soon enough. And so they went ahead and made the arrangements. So I didn't even know where Palau was, never had heard of it before. And I arrived there about 2 o'clock in the afternoon, went to the hotel, and then a car met me and took me over to meet the governor at that time. I don't recall his name at the moment, but that's where it all started. We told him about the story, the vision we had, and what we wanted to do, what the station would be doing is shortwave, and various things like that. And he was enthusiastic.
So was it difficult to find property suitable for constructing a station on the main island of Palau?
Well, it was. Palau is a series of small little islands put together with little bridges.
Yeah.
And the largest part of the island of Palau was Babylon. There was a bridge to get across from Koror, which was the capital then. We couldn't find anything that in that area. It was too small.
The island that has Koror on it was too small. That's what you're saying?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. But the adjacent island linked by a bridge, much more space?
Well, yes, it is. So I remember getting in the car to go looking for property. I was driving away to the east end of the island, and I happened to notice these big telephone pole, or power poles, rather, and it had three-phase power running to it.
Oh, that's important.
Now, that means something, yeah. So I followed them to the end, and I found the electrical generating plant for the whole Flowing Islands. So I traced it back, saw it branch off into this little hill, and I took a drive up this road and came over the hill. And I looked out and I saw this flat piece of land going way over to the ocean.
Beautiful.
And it just, that something just spoke to me and said, that's it. That's your spot.
All right. Well, you know, Paul, we're out of time again this week. Mm-hmm. But I want to continue this with you next week. You've found the land. Now we want to know how the station got built. So let's talk about that in next week's program. Thank you, Paul, for being here. Really appreciate it.
You're welcome, Ray.
All right. Back to you, Jeff.
Thank you, Ray. That was Ray Robinson at KVOH in Los Angeles. And we'll have part 3 of his interview with Paul Hunter in a couple of weeks here on Wavescan.